On a dreary Wednesday afternoon, in the damp, dimly lit basement of the Sitka Sound Science Center, the wheels of discovery are turning. And it's researchers like Sarah Graveham who are turning them.
We're looking at a bunch of ways that these predators and these urchins and these kelp interact. But there's some sort of combination of things happening, and that's what we're here to start to unravel.
Graveham, a postdoctoral scholar and marine ecologist from Oregon State University, is one of six researchers from Santa Cruz in Oregon conducting studies on struggling kelp forests.
So the Santa Cruz lab over the last few years has noticed that big, lush kelp forests full of kelp, full of other critters, fish, abalone, etc., are disappearing and transitioning into urchin barrens, which are more bare rock and a lot of sea urchins just cruising around and grazing all the algae down and preventing other things from using that algae as a place to live or a thing to eat. And in Oregon, we're just now seeing kelp starting to collapse, and we're seeing inklings of it here up in Alaska, and we are hoping it's not on its way, right? But that's what we're here to figure out.
Like their terrestrial counterparts, kelp forests rely on an intricate web of predators and prey, sea otters, urchins, and starfish. On remote shores, that web remains intact. Closer to town, however, the system has been thrown out of balance, and kelp forests suffer.
And one of the reasons we think it might be happening is the decline in the sea stars. We are running some pilot experiments on how the sunflower sea stars, which we just listed as critically endangered, so they've been wiped out in Oregon, California, most of Washington, and they're here in Sitka. They got wiped out pretty badly, but they're starting to come back a bit. And so these sunflower sea stars are the top predator, and they eat sea urchins, and sea urchins eat kelp.
The sunflower sea star, an echinoderm known for its excessive size and numerous limbs, has been making a slow recovery in Sitka. Graveham lifts one out of its mini habitat, a bright orange mass of spiny arms.
Oh, that's a big one.
This is a pretty, like a medium-sized one, probably like 4 or 5 years old. And we actually had to go all the way across Chatham Strait to get big ones. They're not close to town. And so these ones are medium size, and they can get like the size of an extra large pizza. They can get really, really big.
But even as the population rebuilds, years of damage have already been done.
So the sea stars were wiped out by sea star wasting disease. Though they're, you know, starting to come back here, they were gone for 3, 4, 5 years. Closer to town, nobody's playing the top predator, and the kelp are transitioning. Certainly, warming isn't helping. Kelp don't like warmer water. When the sea stars were the only predator left, and then they died, that's when we saw transitions.
Set to a soundtrack of humming water pumps and bubbling seawater, Graveham's research comes alive. But it's not the high-tech science lab you might imagine. A collection of plastic tubs and barrels comprise the control tanks, and data is collected by hand every few hours. It's within these unassuming tubs that our main character, the sea star, sheds light on the world of underwater forests.
What we're looking at right now is a bunch of laboratory experiments that we have running, looking at, for example, how fast the sunflower sea stars eat urchins and eat snails, and then how fast this urchins and the snails eat kelp. And then over here is when you put them all together, how does the presence of the sea star benefit the kelp, and how does that change urchin behavior?
Graveham is looking for the link between sea stars and the health of the kelp in an environment that is difficult to observe. As she explains, humans have long stewarded our terrestrial habitat, but have failed to notice subtle changes in the ocean. Losing kelp forests could have potentially devastating implications for coastal communities, but in this dark basement lab, within these buckets and barrels, is a hope for the future. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Tosh Kimmel.